Blog Talk Radio.
YA. It's not just for young adults anymore. Anyone who reads it knows that most YA is timeless and ageless, and not to mention, it's good for people who have short attention spans. Celebrating coming-of-age stories, YA Yay celebrates all ages, genders, and genres. Join us as we shout YA Yay.
Welcome to YA Yay. I'm your host, Jeff Adams, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, W.T. Prater. How's it going, Bill?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm excited with today's show. We're welcoming today the winner of both the Lambda Literary Award and the Fleischman Award for Humor, Bill Koenigsberg, whose latest book, The Porcupine of Truth, just came out at the end of May. Thanks for being with us, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really glad to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited you're here to talk about this book and maybe a little bit, too, about your body of work. Porcupine is your third novel.
Correct.
And I wondered if you could tell the audience a little bit about what the book is about.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's funny with this one because with both of my first two books, Out of the Pocket and Openly Straight, you know, if I met somebody on the street and they said, oh, what's your book about? I could do it in like 5 seconds. And Porcupine kind of takes longer. So let me do my best here. So Porcupine of Truth is a novel about two 17-year-olds, Carson and Aisha, who meet one summer in Billings, Montana. Carson's in town from New York City with his mother to take care of his ailing, estranged, alcoholic father, and he doesn't want to be there. Aisha, as it turns out, has been sleeping in the zoo because her very religious family has kicked her out of her house for being a lesbian. And the two become fast friends, and at first it's really a buddy novel, and Aisha is invited to come stay with Carson and his family. And then the book takes this left turn where they discover some letters while cleaning up around Carson's father's house. The letters are from Carson's grandfather, who disappeared from the family 30 years earlier. And basically the letters make it clear that the grandfather may still be alive, and Carson wants to reunite his father and grandfather, and that leads them on this sort of epic road trip. And of course Aisha has plenty of reason to want to go on the road trip as well, because she really has nothing. She has no people, so the road trip for her becomes kind of a quest to find family. And then things happen. So that's what The Porcupine of Truth is about.
I like that. And then things happen to avoid the spoilers that could happen after that.
I know. And there's the thing is that there's this great topic to talk about. And one of the real flaws of this whole situation with this novel is that the reveal is probably one of the most interesting things about the book, and I can't talk about it. Big mistake. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, I completely understand, because I would love to talk to you about that, but we're not going to.
Yeah, probably not.
We should do another episode sometime where it's just for people who've read the book.
That's right, a spoiler.
All that stuff.
Perfect.
So I want to ask a little bit, when you were considering, this is a really interesting idea, but the cover of the book is so completely, utterly ambiguous. What was your thinking in creating that cover art for it?
Well, actually, I didn't create it. Scholastic, my publisher, created it. And what they're doing right now, it's funny, if you look at the cover of Openly Straight, which was my first Scholastic book, and this one, what they're doing is they're branding me with a certain kind of art. I loved it when I saw it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You're absolutely right. But for me, what I liked about it was the kind of book that if I saw it somewhere, I'd be like, what's that about?
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, I'm too. I love it.
Thanks.
I want to know when the Porcupine action figures start to come out.
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of, it's very, very early in the process of this book, and I've been kind of waiting to see whether, like, porcupinism would become a thing, like people would start talking about it as a religion, which I guess is a comment that probably deserves some follow-up, right? I guess so.
Exactly.
Okay. So The Porcupine of Truth is At the beginning of this book, Aisha and Carson are both staunch atheists. They're really angry at God for different reasons. Obviously, Aisha because of being kicked out of her house. And Carson kind of creates the idea of the Porcupine of Truth. It's like a false deity, like a god that he creates. And it becomes kind of their mascot. And then I hope that by the end of the book, if it's successful, that the Porcupine of Truth as a phrase has changed meaning. But that's another thing entirely.
What would you say your inspiration behind this book was and tackling so many different topics all at the same time?
Yeah, you know, there is. There's so much going on in this book. You know, it was a different sort of creation for me, both openly straight and out of the pocket. As I said, like I could describe them in a sentence. Both were thought up like that. And this book, when I started it, I actually had no idea what it was really about. The truth is that this book started with a phrase. I knew I wanted to write a book, and I knew I didn't have an idea yet. And one day I heard the phrase, "We are hooligan do-gooders." It just came into my brain, and I was curious about it, so I ran to my computer and I wrote that down, and the second sentence started with, "Aisha and I, we, something else." And suddenly a mystery appeared, like who is this person who is talking and who is Aisha? And I mean, the strange thing about it is that sentence doesn't even appear in the book, but it's, and the rest was just discovery. So I wish I could say that there was some big idea that I knew, you know, up front what I was going to be writing about, but it was sort of a seat of the pants thing. If that makes sense.
Was there a point that it went from seat of your pants to, I know what this is now, and I need to plot it out?
Yes, definitely. And it was also the first book that I sold based on an outline and a few chapters, because now that I've been writing books, that's how you get to sell them after a while, which is delightful in a lot of ways, but it's also a new challenge. So when I made the discovery of the reveal that we will not be able to reveal, when I figured out what was going on with the grandfather, the mystery, I knew what the novel was about, and then I started to create a plot. And I always joke about this, but I always say that I have terrible ideas once in a while, and usually for every novel I have one terrible idea. And my terrible idea for this one was that every time that Carson and Aisha walked into a church, they would hear a choir singing clues to where the grandfather was, which is a terrible idea. so it's sort of funny. Like, they wind up in a place called Thermopolis, Wyoming at one point, and the only reason they wound up there is that was one of the clues I made up, and I decided, even after getting rid of the bad idea, to kind of follow my clues.
See, I don't know. I think that, like, using things like that, like, I love bad ideas. I think the worst idea is the best idea. So,
that's,
I mean,
what, then you'd like
you,
me a lot.
I mean, if you look at what's popular nowadays, it does become, I love anybody who can think outside the box, even if it's a terrible idea.
Oh, my God, I
now,
so
I just
agree.
Want to point out,
mm-hmm.
I just want to point out to everybody who's listening that if you're interested in buying a copy of this book, then you should do so. You can go to the episode page on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to www.writersonlinenetwork.com, and you will find the link both for Bill's website and a buy link for this book. So you can go to either one of those and buy a copy of this right now while you're listening to this, before they give the grand reveal, and then you're like, oh, but, no, yeah, I don't think they're going to do that, but, you know, who knows?
You
so
never know.
I'm curious, when you were trying to figure out, I know when you go with a bigger house, they kind of handle more of the publicity aspect for you, but
mm-hmm.
when you were figuring out what publisher you were going to go through, why did you decide to go with the one that you did?
Well, Scholastic and I, our relationship began before Openly Straight. The book Openly Straight actually was first going to be published by Penguin, the part of Penguin called Dutton, which is best known as John Green's imprint. So I was going to be there, and, you know, things just happened for a reason, I suppose. They decided that the book wasn't going to be able to be competitive in this market, and Scholastic kind of came and swooped it right up. And so I love my new home of Scholastic, and I have an editor there. So right now, for my third, fourth, and now fifth novel, things that I'm still working on, it's all Scholastic.
Very nice.
Yeah. I love them. So.
So you've got two more books that are already coming from Scholastic.
Yeah,
I can't.
This is book three. I can't talk about anything book five, but I can tell you that book four, this news is out there, book four is the sequel to Openly Straight. It's called Honestly Ben, and right now I'm putting up the finishing touches on that book.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think a lot of my fans felt that Openly Straight had an open-ended ending, and I never saw it that way, but they really wanted it, and this is sort of a gift to them, which in fact is a gift to me. So
yeah, I could definitely see where I agree with the rest of the fans that it left room to see Ben's story.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks.
How would you say your writing has evolved from Out of the Pocket through Openly Straight and now into Porcupine?
I would say that, you know, Out of the Pocket was a really straightforward book. It's a straightforward coming-out story. And I always say that if that book is kind of like a piano solo, Openly Straight is a nice duet. Like, it's a little bit more complicated as a book. And then you get to Porcupine, which is sort of, I don't even know if you'd call it a quartet. It might just be a whole orchestra. There's just so much more going on. So I think that the degree of difficulty changes. And, you know, I'm not a very good self-judge in terms of the writing, but I do know that it certainly has a higher degree of difficulty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I definitely can see that. Having read all three relatively close together, because I reread Out of the Pocket when it came back out in paperback.
Sure.
So I've read all three pretty close together. This one has so much going on into it. I would definitely think orchestra for it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I felt like as I was writing it, how am I going to be able to kind of balance all of the things I'm trying to do? So,
which
actually brings up an interesting question. When you write, are you more of a plotter or a pantser?
Well, I would say overall, even though I said that I have to say that overall I'm more of a plotter. Like, I kind of have to know before I get going too far where it's going. And I would say that even if I am a plotter, though, I'm a plotter who keeps things very loose. So I'm very open to being wrong. And making adjustments, which happened, I think, on each book.
Did you find yourself...
Well, I mean, I think the one thing you have to be careful about when you're a plotter is that you have to also take into account the fact that you think you know your characters, but as you're writing, your characters are going to reveal more and more of themselves, and they may not know the direction that you thought they were going to go with writing out the... you know, writing the outline and everything.
Absolutely. And really, it's a control issue, you know. Those of us who are authors, we're in control, or we think we are, of this constellation creating this world. And it's a real give and take. Sometimes we have to realize, just as you said, that the character is taking us somewhere, and we have to be willing to go on a ride. And I think that sometimes some of the best scenes are scenes that happen that way, where it goes somewhere we didn't expect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As you're plotting on this, were you also taking into account scene by scene how you were weaving in the various elements of religion and the mystery and the friendship and, yeah, like, to
right.
get all the right notes through all the scenes.
You know, one of the great things about the process of writing is that people don't, especially people who don't write, don't realize how much of a role revision plays in it, because revision really allows us to look like we're masterful at juggling, and sometimes we're really
yeah.
not. I mean, I took a lot of time and had an editor working with me on this book. So, we anytime I go off track and I start to get too much on the mystery and forget about the friendship, it's nice to be able to go back and weave parts of the friendship through those scenes.
Well, particularly when you're incorporating the big reveal element of a book, whenever you're doing like a mystery or something like that, I found for myself, I had to go back in and start weaving in clues so that people could go back in and reread the book and get something different once they knew
right.
that big reveal.
Right.
Did you find
that
you did that a lot in yours as well?
I wonder if I can, I'll throw a question back at you, although it's so unfair to our listeners, but did you get the reveal before it was revealed? Did you know what happened to Carson's grandfather?
I did not.
I have
you didn't.
I have not actually read the book. I have it in my to-read queue, but Jeff has. What did you think, Jeff?
I did not get it until Carson got it.
Got it. Okay.
And
well, I'm really glad.
In retrospect, I feel like I should have.
I get that.
In some ways. Because I'm not going to say why. Because
right. I know why. Because
well, you know why, because I told you.
Right.
Right. I felt like I should get it.
Yeah.
But
well,
that's just how enthralled I was in the story. I was just going with it. You know,
right.
And then we got there, and it was like, wow.
Good. Well, that's what I hoped for as a writer. And, you know, there are some clues that come up through the book, but I found it to be a pretty organic process with the mystery. Like, I knew the things I wanted to weave in there. And what I found was that as we approached the climax, the reveal, and I think I would say I found this with each of my books, there's a certain point at which the writing becomes frenetic. I remember with Openly Straight and The Porcupine, I couldn't say with Out of the Pocket that I had periods where I was writing 30 to 40 pages a day right when things were hitting the hot spot. And those pages were pretty clean. I didn't have to do as much editing. So you sort of get in this zone, or I shouldn't say you do, I do. That's definitely my experience. Do you feel that way? Have you found that there gets to be a frenetic place in your own writing?
If I'm writing straight through the book,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the third hat trick that I'm working on right now. I
mm-hmm.
did what I've never done before, and that's worked in, like, I'm going to write this scene today, and now I'm going to write this scene, because I felt like writing certain scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going front to back, which caused some problems, actually, that I'm fixing now in revisions.
Right.
But certainly in the first couple of books, which were written from start to finish, you just kind of picked up the pace as it was getting towards, you know, what the climax of the book would be.
Well,
I wish I could say that I could get 30 to 40 pages out in a day, but, you know,
well,
there were certainly higher word count days than others.
and you know, that's the thing, is that we all have our own paces, but I will say that things get a little bit frenetic and manic in each of my projects at a certain point.
Yeah.
I'm connected and nothing can stop me. And my husband calls those periods, he says I have bookhead. And it's like it's impossible to be around me because I'm just living in my book. And I just want to go back there. So...
mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you don't want to date or marry a writer. I think that's probably the takeaway from this.
I don't know.
For me,
on Facebook, you and Chuck do pretty well.
Yeah, you know, sometimes.
See, I'm very different in the way that I write, because I tend to write scenes rather than stories. And then, like, of course, I've only had 4 short stories published, and I'm working on my first novel now. But for me, it seems like it's really easy for me to sit down and write down an entire scene, regardless of word length, which is generally, you know, between 1 and 2,000 words. And then I go back and try to connect those scenes in a way that is realistic for me, both as the writer and when I come back to it as the reader. Writing through an entire novel just completely from beginning to end seems like a completely foreign concept. Like, and my mind can't wrap itself around that, which is why I'm trying to get better at outlining so that I at least have an idea, even if I don't have the actual scenes written out. But yeah, I would love to be able to write 30 or 40 pages a day. Do I think that that's in my future? Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, my brain just doesn't seem to do that.
You know, but listening to you talk, when you're talking about writing scenes, I relate to that because the way I look at this, the way I look at writing is in some ways it's you're finishing a puzzle. It's like there's a puzzle in front of you and the whole goal is to figure out how to show what it is you need to show using scenes. So, you know, the outlining process is trying to figure out where those scenes are going to go. And then, of course, as you're going along, you realize you might have to throw some things out, throw some things in. But usually by the time I'm writing 30 pages, I'm quite well aware of the pieces that need to come next. And so I just zoom at those points. I'm doing it right now with the Ben book. I'm zooming right now.
Nice. So what? In your best estimation, would you say how many books, if you were able to go from front to end, from the beginning to the end of the book, how many books would you say you would be able to write a year?
Well, I mean, I'm getting faster for sure, but I think the answer is probably one. It's just there's too much time involved that I need to, that I would call just sort of contemplation time that has to be built in there because I just, before I have the answer, it's just slogging through, you know, until I have ignition, I'm lost. That's just how it goes. So I have to. I'm trying to learn to fall in love with the process of feeling lost because it's not natural for me. I don't generally enjoy that too much.
In terms of reactions to Porcupine, now that it's been out, that kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier. What do you find the reactions are between an adult who reads it and a teen who reads it?
You know, I'm still figuring that out. I know that this book, I mean, ironically, it's a young adult book that I feel much more clear about what my adult reaction is than my teen reaction. I get very positive reactions from adults. They are interested in the reveal, and they're very interested in Carson and Aisha's journey from, I would say, disconnected to connected. So adults, you know, I feel very comfortable with teen. I'm still getting my first, you know, 50 teen reactions. So it's varied, but I think that they're digging it. I mean, I hope so. You know, until you get hundreds of reactions, you don't really know what's going on. But it feels pretty positive.
We're headed down to about 5 minutes now. The half hour is just shooting on by.
I'm telling you.
I do want to hit on something that you've got coming up this fall that I know you have limited information about, but I want to get it out there to the listeners so they can keep an eye out for it. You're going to be doing a tour this fall in conjunction with the Trevor Project.
Correct.
Can you tell us about that and how you got involved with them?
Sure. You know, as usual, this idea began with a bad idea. My idea was at first that I wanted to get the Porcupine logo out there, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to drive around the country with a Porcupine car. I'm going to have my car covered in that Porcupine logo, and I'm just going to go. And that was, of course, a terrible idea. But what happened out of it is from as I began to think about it, I realized what I could do if I was thinking about spending some time on the road would be to try to be of service to some other people. And immediately the Trevor Project came to mind. And so the idea is basically to go around the country, mostly to smaller towns and mostly to places in the South and the Midwest where it's needed, to be a champion for the Trevor Project. And, of course, the Trevor Project is the nation's only, or is it largest? I can't recall now. See, I need media training. The nation's largest organization that deals with LGBT youth and suicide. It's an issue that's close to my heart, and my job will be to go and help connect with teens and talk to them about the resources offered by the Trevor Project, and also to talk about my own journey, which is one that has hit quite a few bumps along the way. So that's the plan at this point. I have about 12 stops so far. I think maybe somewhere between 12 and 14 across the country.
That's so awesome. I love that.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to it.
So
I'm thinking maybe
a
book will come out. Go ahead.
I want to ask, because obviously I'm just beginning my author journey. If you were to go back and give advice to yourself before you published your first book, what advice would you give yourself?
I would give myself two pieces of advice. And the first is to be really, really, really patient, because I didn't have any idea when I got started how much patience plays a role in this career. Everything happens remarkably slowly in publishing. Especially if you go by traditional publishing. You know, from the time a book is purchased by a house to when it appears, it's somewhere between a year and a half and 2 years. So everything is just really slow, and I've had to learn to be patient. And the other and probably more important piece is to enjoy it, because it's I don't know if you guys are this way, but I have a tendency to kind of wait for the next period, like, oh, I can't wait for the book to come out when I will get feedback from people. That's just part of the process. Part of the process is enjoying writing. So I'm trying to slow things down and really savor the experience.
Awesome.
Do you think you'll become more of a hybrid at some point and do some stuff just to Scholastic and self-pub other stuff?
I'm open to it. You know, I know that that's the direction a lot of the market is going. And I'm just sort of playing it by ear right now and seeing what happens. I feel very fortunate to be in the position I'm in. So, you know, I'm just going with it. But I will say that I have a lot of interest in writing adult fiction as well. I just haven't had a chance to even think about it in the last few years. So where things go from here, I just don't know.
So we're coming up on a minute and a half here. So I think my last question that I've got, and I hope I don't throw you too much for a curve with this one, because I just kind of made it up on the fly. How does Bobby feel about marriage equality being the law of the land now?
Bobby from Out of the Pocket?
Yeah.
Oh, he's very happy. You know, he was perhaps a little bit confused as to why all of this mattered so much to people, you know, why it's such a big deal. But Bobby, for sure, who's probably at Stanford right now playing football, I would think, is very excited about the fact that he will not be a second-class citizen in his life. Very exciting.
Cool.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that you can go to www.writersonlinenetwork.com and you can go to the YA page and you can check out more information about Bill and about his book. And you can also find that same information on the episode page. So be sure to go out, check him out, and buy a copy of his book.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Julie, thanks, Bill, for being with us. It was great to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful to talk to you both. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see everybody next month on YAA.